Soledad O'Brien is an award-winning journalist, documentarian, speaker, author, and philanthropist. Throughout her impressive career, she has been a key contributor to NBC, CNN, and other major networks. In 2013, she launched Soledad O'Brien Productions, a company dedicated to telling stories on a range of social issues, and she'll be the keynote speaker for OSU's 2022 MLK celebration. Welcome to the Inside OSU podcast. I'm your host, Megan Robinson. In today's episode, I am joined by Soledad via Zoom. We discuss her work, the importance of continuing to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and why it's important to have difficult conversations about diversity, equity, and inclusion. You'll be here in Stillwater on Thursday, January 20th. Why is it so important to you to come and speak at Oklahoma State University in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King?
I think anytime there's a celebration of Dr. King, it's really important to take a moment and look at the relevance of Dr. King's message, his works. I've done now a number of documentaries on Dr. King, and I'm always worried when we look at historic figures that we don't sort of hold these celebrations because, oh, remember who they were. But instead, we think, what is the point and the relevance of their message today in the world we're living in today? And so I think there's no better person than Dr. King to really take, because he was such a prolific writer and obviously speaker, to take a moment to really examine literally and specifically the words that he said, the things that he wrote, and talk about how they apply to our lives today and not just use it as a celebration of a person from the past. I think that would be a really terrible mistake to celebrate Dr. King's legacy in that way. So instead, I want to ask the question, what is the relevance of Dr. King today?
You mentioned doing documentaries on Dr. King. You are an esteemed journalist. What are some of your favorite stories that you've told about the topics of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which are key points to honoring Dr. Martin Luther King?
Yeah, I think sometimes when we start talking about diversity or equity or inclusion, I mean, I know this to be true. I think people's eyes roll, right? It's like, oh, we're going to get the diversity lecture. And in actuality, diversity and equity and inclusion undergird sort of anything that you're doing today. I think it's very difficult to think that you can have a highly functioning workplace if you have some challenges around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I might add a new topic of conversation in that category is belonging. Like, how do people feel that they belong to an organization? And that organization can be a college, can be a corporate workspace, can be a workspace like mine that has 16 employees, we're pretty tiny. And so, you know, I don't think it's possible today in the work that I do, or in the work that a university is doing, or in work that anybody is creating today, to say, oh, we don't care about those issues, because those issues are really important. How do people in the space feel like they belong, that they're included in the conversation? And I don't think the conversation has to be one of finger pointing and blaming. I think it's really around data and numbers and making sure that you're hearing a lot of voices. I mean, you know, the work that I do in my documentaries is exactly that. We literally go around and stick a mic in someone's face and try to tell the story that has not been told before. And what we have found is that those stories, when told the right way, can be very valuable. I think there's a mythology. Well, you know, only Black people will want to watch something called Black in America, or only Latinos will want to watch Latino in America. But the actual data would tell you that that's just not true. People want interesting, good stories that deal with communities that they don't necessarily know. So I don't think it has to be a lecture. I don't think it has to be boring. I don't think it has to be a finger-pointing blame game. I think it has to be a story about, like, this is who we are, and how do we figure out how to leverage the most out of people in a space, whether they're workers or students or members in some capacity, so that they feel like they're part of conversations and part of the group that's in the space. Why? Because you get better work out of them. They want to stay. They're more engaged. They don't go off to other jobs or transfer to other schools where they feel more heard or seen. I think it's pretty important.
Throughout your career, you've played major roles at NBC and CNN, just to name a few stops along the way. But in 2013, you decided to launch Soledad O'Brien Productions, and you've produced documentaries about race,
class, poverty, among other topics, some of which you just spoke about. But why was launching your own production company and continuing to tell these stories on your own platform important to you?
Yeah, I mean, to a large degree, I still work with all the networks because we use their platforms. So it's not that, you know, I went off and started a network and I just run those docs and projects on my own little network. We have a multi-part series that looks at the number of Black women who've gone missing in America and the reasons why they don't get as much attention in a multi-part series we just did for HBO and streaming on HBO Max right now. We're in the middle of a project about Rosa Parks that will be on NBC's platform in the next few months. So we tend to take the stories that we like, but I think when you work for yourself, well, one, you get to work with people you like all the time, which is really a blessing. But also you get to do the projects you like. You know, you just get to say, this is what I want to spend my time on, and this is something that I don't want to spend my time on. We're doing a doc right now that looks at, you know, just seeing the number of people who are hungry in this country is so distressing to me. So we're looking at what is being called the hungriest city in the nation and really analyzing, you know, why is there such a hunger problem in a country that actually wastes a ton of food and really has such, you know, income and inequality at this moment. I find those topics really interesting and important as well. And I wanna spend my time focused on those things. I remember years ago pitching a documentary. We had done Black in America and Latino in America, Gay in America, Education in America at CNN. And I said, we really should do a look at poverty in America because I think people don't know. You know, the face of poverty is a woman, it's a or a child, and I think there's this just the sense of who is poor. You know, what poverty looks like in America, I think a lot of people have wrong. Often it's a working person, a person who's working, you know, full time, sometimes multiple jobs. And the person who I pitched it to, I remember very clearly, he said to me, "Ugh, who would want to look at that?" As if I was describing like following around a bunch of hobos with, you know, sticks and a little bag at the end of their stick as they ride the rails or something crazy. And you know, it became very clear, like, wow, you really don't have a good sense of who's poor in America. And the idea that you don't think people would want to understand that story, you know, is an indication that maybe I should be pitching this elsewhere or doing this work elsewhere. And so that was part of the reason for me heading off to do the projects that I think are important and that I want to make sure live on the platform that really wants them, as opposed to doing a bunch of things that, you know, were sometimes fun to do, but are not my passion.
Discussing diversity, equity, and inclusion, and as you said earlier, we'll add belonging to that, can often be uncomfortable and difficult, and it's challenging to start those conversations. And as someone who speaks on these issues frequently, what advice do you have for starting these conversations?
I don't think it has to be challenging if you deal with facts and data. You just have to, one of the reasons a lot of these docs are so compelling is that you can say, you know, did you know when my family moved to Long Island in the 1960s, because my mom was Black and my dad was white, they could not buy a house. That the town of Levittown, which is so famous for, I think it was William Levitt who created this, really this model of what a suburban neighborhood could look like. You know, he made it very clear. I mean, like he spelled it out, like, only Caucasian people could live here. And so that meant that, you know, home values, which increased tremendously in Levittown and other communities like it, blocked out those people who weren't allowed in because they literally had rules. I mean, it wasn't wink, wink, you know, hey, just so you know, don't have Black people live here. It was written down, Black people cannot live here, but there was a little caveat, but they can work here. They can be here as servants or working on property. And so I have found that one, often people don't know those stories. They don't know that the GI Bill, you know, provided a lot of opportunities for people returning from war unless they were Black. Then they did not. There were things that they weren't allowed to do if you were a Black GI. And so I think we just sometimes don't know our own history. So I like to deal with data and history and facts. I think sometimes emotion is a little bit not helpful because these conversations can get kind of emotional. Well, here's how I feel about it. Or let me tell you my side of the story. I remember once talking to a guy who was very upset that he had gone to Harvard, and he was very upset that a young man a year behind him was also going to Harvard because the guy who was Black played basketball. I was so upsetting. And I'm like, I just don't understand why you're upset. Like, why is this upsetting to you? you know, he had a sense that he deserved it and this other person did not deserve it. And I'm not sure I have enough, you know, years in psychology to like help that man come to terms with his challenges. So I try to avoid the emotion and just get into the storytelling of understanding the history and the data. You can see inequality, the data is often very, very clear. In our latest project for HBO that's streaming right now, when you look at the number of people of color who are missing and how often the media tells their stories, like the numbers don't match up. That leads you to some very pointed questions. Why not? Why is this person considered worthy of reporting on around the clock? And this person who has an equally compelling story, who I think is equally attractive and her family is as well spoken, is getting no airtime. I think we're forced to ask ourselves some difficult questions. So, you know, I don't mind difficult questions. I like, you know, put your head down and plow through them. And I think people actually respect conversations that way, that are less about blaming and this and that, and more about, well, let's understand it so we can move forward in a better way.
For those who want to do some self-educating, I mean, you've mentioned several documentaries that you've worked on or are currently out or are in production, and I'm personally going to find the one on HBO Max about the missing women. I will watch that this weekend. But what other literature or documentaries or series do you recommend for people who want to educate themselves more on these topics?
You know, I think Ibram Kendi has a great book called How to Be an Anti-Racist. I think it's pretty straightforward. I think it's, I think books are really, really helpful. I think just watching historical documentaries kind of give you a sense of that are well done and appear on good platforms like a PBS or an NBC or a CNN, or, you know, where you know that they're not making up facts. You know, I think that just to understand how things were is always really useful. I mean, I always appreciate that when it comes to, you know, learning about communities that I know nothing about. And you come out of that saying like, wow, you know, I didn't know very much about a Native American community, but I really had no idea about this and this and this. And that's what I get out of interviewing people whenever we do a special, or I get to have people on my show where, you know, they are on to explain what's happening in their community, to enlighten the rest of us. So I think it's about understanding that there's a lot to learn about different communities, and probably a lot other people can learn about your community. And part of the, you know, part of the win, I think, is in saying, you know, let's talk about where we're alike and where we're different and how we come into these things thinking different things. And I think all of that requires a conversation and requires, you know, a real sit down and understanding around, okay, let's talk about what our goals are. When we do, and the work that I do, we have very blunt discussions about, you know, diversity and who's working on what projects and who's behind the camera, who's in front of the camera. Like, we don't shy away from it. People used to joke with me, oh, what? So you come into an event and you count the number of Black people? I'm like, yeah, kind of. Yes. Yes, I do. I mean, if it's an event about diversity, yes, I want to actually understand, like, okay, what was your take on diversity and how well are you doing? How well are you reaching out to people in the community? So, and I also would say a really good way to educate yourself is to have conversations with people. I do not think people mind a conversation, and I've certainly had plenty where I'll say, you know, gosh, I feel so just not smart about this. Can I ask you some stupid questions? And 99 times out of 100, someone will be like, yeah, go ahead. You know, wow, I thought such and such, and this seems different to me. Can you explain that to me? You know, why do some people want to be called Latino and some people want to be called Hispanic? Why do some people think it's Latinx and other people are like, oh, I'm horribly offended by Latinx? Like, those are all very reasonable, valid questions that you can find people to ask those questions. And now you're engaged in a thoughtful, goodwill conversation, I think.
It was a privilege getting to speak to Soledad O'Brien. She will be delivering her keynote address at the McKnight Center on Thursday, January 20th at 6 p.m. Masks are required and tickets are free, but they must be reserved in advance. Visit McKnightCenter.org to reserve your seat today. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Inside OSU podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe. Once again, I'm Megan Robinson. Thanks for joining me.